Dave Moore on Today FM.
Now, Taste of Dublin returns to Dublin's Merrion Square this Thursday. Starting there and running all across the weekend. It brings more than 50 chefs and culinary experts for 4 days of incredible food, exclusive festival dishes, cocktail masterclasses, and plenty of culinary inspiration from live fire barbecue, authentic Mexican cooking, to West African flavors, viral food trends, and summer entertaining ideas. There's something for every food lover. I'm delighted to say now I'm joined by one of Ireland's best-known chefs, Garrett Mullins, who is the executive chef at the Anantara Marker Dublin Hotel. You're going down there, am I right, Gar, with Super Value are bringing you down?
Yeah, I'm cooking on the demo stage on Sunday night, and I'm going to be cooking some Irish Wagyu beef.
I didn't know we had Wagyu beef in Ireland.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, Wagyu started getting farmed here, and Super Value now have a range of steaks and burgers. So I'm actually doing their burgers. They're really delicious. I don't know much you know about Wagyu.
Well, I was going to ask you, can you explain to me and to everyone else, so Wagyu originated obviously in Japan. All I know of it is when you see it online, the steaks, when they cut through and they reveal the steak, it's just the most beautiful marbling of a steak you've ever seen. What is so special about it?
I mean, it's a breed first and foremost, right, and then how it's fed and how it's finished. And like the Japanese stuff that you're talking about comes at different grades, like A5, A4.
Sure.
And the stuff that you're seeing that's really white, that's the really, really high-end Japanese stuff, all grain-fed. But in Ireland, we obviously feed our beef with grass.
Sure.
So the Irish Wagyu is grain fed, but it's finished on a little bit of grass.
Right.
So for me, it gives it a little bit more of a meaty flavour. But the characteristics of it is that it's really tender because it has that marbling going through. Quite a buttery taste. It caramelises really well. That's what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. I'm going
to
show.
Explain that to everyone. So that is like getting a good Maillard reaction.
Whoa.
Look at this, lads. Look at this, lads.
Culinary expert in the house.
But that is the name, effectively, for getting a good crust on something, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, the whole thing with cooking protein, any protein, is all around getting a really hot pan, making sure that if it's meat and it's taken out of the fridge, it's tempered, meaning that it comes up to temperature, and then you want to cook it really aggressively, so really hard, with something like a Wagyu steak. There's already a bit of fat in it. So you just need to be careful with the amount of fat that you put in the pan, and then you're going to cook it really, really hard to get that Maillard, to get that caramelization, which is where the flavor is. So when we're any chef or anybody, when you're cooking, it's about chasing flavor. That's what you're at, right? You're just trying to get things to taste as well as they can.
Absolutely.
And choosing the best quality ingredients is the difference to me between someone who's a good cook and a great cook.
Love
so
that.
Like, if you hear someone that's at in a really high restaurant, like the Michelin star stuff, those people are sourcing the best quality ingredients, using the best techniques. In Ireland, we're super lucky because we've the best ingredients in the world. And I'm not just saying that as an exec chef that works and lives here.
But Super Value Wagyu, I mean, you know, like that stuff is so good.
And it's more expensive, which I think you can kind of put your hand out to be slapped sometimes, constantly talking about expensive ingredients.
Sure, sure.
But less is more when it comes to high-end ingredients, I think. They used to be like a big, huge plate of food used to be what people would have perceived as value.
Yes.
But for me, it's like really good ingredients, cooked well, be it in a restaurant, a hotel, in a rooftop bar, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Or at home.
At home,
having your friends coming over for a barbecue.
Have you just reopened the rooftop bar on the market, one of my favourite spots in Dublin?
It is. We opened about 4 weeks ago, and then the weather gods were on our side. It gave us a heat wave.
Unbelievable. Although they've thrown rain at you for the last couple of bits.
You know, we had a group up there yesterday for lunch. We had 100 people up there for lunch, and it was like at 12 o'clock. And I've done a big seafood buffet at an outdoor barbecue. Mexican is the team this year,
right.
So I do a different team with food every year.
Okay.
But like it was raining, it stopped, it was raining, and there was a lot of American guests in, so I was out just saying, relax, it'll stop,
give it a second.
Exactly.
Just go back to the steak for a second, because Kevin in Donegal has a question. He says, I've just about mastered doing a steak for myself. Then he says, brackets, not the family though, well done heathens.
Oh no.
But I can't do the banging pepper sauce, and I can't stand the packets anymore. Any tips, Gar?
Well, do you know what's gas? Well, one of the things I'm doing on Sunday is teaching how to make the pepper sauce.
From Donegal, Kevin, get your tickets for Texas Dublin on Sunday.
Basically,
evening.
All you do is a shallot, which is that little small onion. They're much better
than the brown onions,
because the flavour is much less aggressive.
Yeah.
So sear your steak off in your pan. Pour off any of the excess oil. Chop your shallot as fine as you can, and then on a medium heat, a knob of butter into the pan. Throw in your shallot, cook it until it's soft, and then what I want you to do is add in about two shots of brandy.
Okay.
And be careful here if you're cooking over, it'll flambe.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're worried about that, just lower the temperature down.
And can you do it on an electric hob if you... Yeah.
You do it on electric, yeah. Just if you wanted the flambe, you just hit it with a flame. But if you don't, you just lower it down. Let it bubble away until it reduces. That just means that all the liquid goes away. Right. And then in with some double cream. Season it with a little bit of salt and then lots of black pepper. And when you think you've enough pepper in there, I want you to season it about five or six more times
okay,
with the pepper.
Brilliant.
Because you want that underlying.
That's why it's called pepper sauce.
Yeah, and you want that little bit of dig that's there. You want that little bit of heat.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple. It's a very classic sauce to learn how to make.
So interesting, right? You said cook your steak, take your steak out, use the same pan to get. What are you doing with your steak to make sure that when you're serving it, then your steak's not freezing?
So the most important thing is to rest any protein. Mm. And that what that does is it just lets the meat relax. So what everyone says to me, it'll go cold. Put your oven on about 70 degrees.
Right.
Put a plate in there with a little rack if you have one.
Yeah.
Or your oven with a little rack. And then just sit your steak in there to stay warm. So in a restaurant environment, we have heat lamps and we can sit them up under the lamps to let them stay warm.
Of course.
And then any of the juices that fall onto the plate or onto the rack, lash them into your peppered
sauce,
more flavour.
This man's got tips for days. Let's get more questions in. Gareth Mullins is the executive chef at the Marker Hotel down beside the Borgosh Energy Theatre. If you've ever been down there, you know the hotel's right beside it. Go to the rooftop. It's absolutely gorgeous in there. I was in the restaurant there last year, Gareth, with a mate of mine, and we had an absolute ball. Great fun even. Your staff are great, actually really fun to deal with. The food was exceptional, as always. So
thank you so
top
much.
Work. You'll find Gareth down at the Taste of Dublin, of course, which is running from Thursday. Not just the World Cup kicking off on Thursday, Taste of Dublin as well. 11th to the 14th. And the Sunday, the 14th, Gareth will be down at Super Value and he's doing some cooking demonstrations down at Super Value 10, so don't miss that. Okay, questions for you. Mark says, Gareth, you're well used to cooking for big groups of people, but you also have to make sure that they're fed and happy. How do you manage the pressure? This is a good question from a chef point of view. I mean, most people are cooking at home for their family of four, but that can be enough of a stress.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. It's all around systems. I'm sitting here in this studio watching all these buttons and you're just like touching things.
Yeah, that's just
because it's what you do, right?
Yeah.
And the piece of advice I would give anybody when they're cooking at home, especially if they're inviting friends over, is that all the preparation needs to happen before they get there.
Love that.
So like, and also, that it's not the time to experiment new dishes. Maybe one little side order or something that you've seen on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, but like, cook the things that you know you cook well. Get it all ready before they get there, and then really, like, it's about just finishing things off. So if I was cooking for a party of 16, right, I'll pick a number that's probably a little bit bigger than what most people will attack, and I was having a barbecue out in the back garden and I was cooking steaks, I'd probably sear the steaks off
beforehand.
So I'd just get them caramelised, I'd let them cool down, and then rather than trying to reheat them on my barbecue, I'd just reheat them in a hot oven.
Okay.
Now you might think a chef wouldn't do that, I'm like, because I want to stand around and I want to hear the stories from people and say hello to everybody and have a beer or whatever it is when people arrive. And even down to, I share loads of cocktails on my Instagram as well, as you might have seen.
Yeah.
But I would batch cook the cocktails. I wouldn't be standing there trying to
shake them. Shake them now, yeah.
I'd pick two or three drinks.
And stick to that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, red and white wine, obviously, or bubbles or whatever you're drinking. Maybe one cocktail and something non-alcoholic. And then batch cook them like in a big kiln in your jar, or just all you have to do then is a bit of ice into the glass. If you're making a mojito or a margarita or a margarita, whatever, a bit of mint, a bit of chili to drink in there, top it up.
And okay, then it's easy.
It is easy. It's all about, we call it in the business mise en place, which means everything in place.
Everything already
so
put in place.
Not, if you're not prepped,
forget about it when you start struggling.
You're a snooker, you're gone.
Gina, though, wants to know, when you get home after a long day cooking professionally, what do you actually make for yourself? What would your missus say about your cooking? Did she ever see it?
Well, I do all the cooking at home.
Okay.
Normally I'm off on a Monday. I record the podcast on a Monday morning normally. And then I do the word that everybody hears, batch cooking. I am a bit of a batch cooker.
These two boys were chatting flat here. Yeah. Patrick and Shannon were talking about batch cooking this morning.
Yeah, last night I actually got home and I stuck on the barbecue and I cooked some chicken fillets, just seasoning them with a little bit of salt and pepper and some oregano. And we had some roasted potatoes and some grilled vegetables, and I had a little bit of chimichurri sauce that I made at the weekend.
It was grand. Yeah, it was better than grand, I'd say. What's one Irish ingredient you don't think gets enough credit, says Sally-Ann?
One Irish ingredient, our vegetables, I think. And I think now a lot of people are going away on holidays and you're in Spain or Portugal or France or whatever, and the tomatoes are amazing. Go and find an amazing piece of broccoli or cauliflower or a carrot even.
In those countries, you won't be, right?
No, you don't. And like, I think we forget here, like, that most of our vegetables come from the ground, right? Yeah. Where across Europe and even the rest of the world, a lot of vegetables are grown in water. They're hydroponically grown, which means they're in these glass houses where there's just water being pumped into them. They taste nothing.
Yeah.
They look all right. Over here, we're pulling our potatoes out of the ground along with our vegetables. They get the taste of the earth. They get all the wonderful bit of sunshine that we get. I actually had some Irish tomatoes on Monday, which were grown in Lusk, County Dublin.
Right.
Amazing. Like, incredible flavour.
It makes sense if you think about the Mediterranean, right? So, obviously, they've got their olive trees, right? Yeah. So their olive oil is going to be amazing. They've got their tomato plants because, again, the heat, they're growing them outside. They're going to taste amazing. But then if you think about Ireland, as you said, we're the root vegetable. Like, our green land is producing these incredible. So get the stuff that's in the ground.
Exactly. And, like, to really, again, good cooks really cook within the seasons. And I think we're getting better at that now. Yeah. Our supermarkets are telling that story. Mm. I mean, obviously, people that do my job who have, like, that are talking in the media, we're talking about cooking within the seasons. But, like, at the moment, it gets loads of credit. But Wexford strawberries, I mean, they're the best in the world.
Yeah, they are.
The best in the world.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Speaking of talking in the media, so you've the podcast with Gary O'Hanlon is still going strong.
Dishing out, yeah, we're still dishing out.
Yeah, so how many years? This is years now you're doing it.
I think we're on our, we're either on our fifth or our sixth season.
That's unreal.
And in the last couple of seasons, we've started interviewing more chefs, which our audience are really enjoying.
That's great.
And then Gary and I do a few on our own. And, you know, we like to have... You've been on.
It's great fun, yeah, absolutely.
Still, you told us your story about your time in Russia. So if you want to...
I've got loads more stories. Can you get me back on?
What blew my mind is that you could speak Russian.
That's right. A lot of people don't realise that, but yeah, it's true. Teresa says, what's one cooking tip that everyone at home should know, but most people never do? I think the prep that Gar was talking about is one thing, but what else would you say? What's one thing that, like,
A lot of people are cooking for kids at home, right?
Yeah.
And a question I get asked all the time is, like, oh, my kids don't eat this, my kids don't eat that. I would say if you could introduce one new vegetable or fruit a month, you're doing is you're going to just prep it in a way that's like there's not loads of other flavours involved.
Yeah.
And you just, let's say carrots.
Right.
And your kids are refusing to eat carrots. Try and get them to eat them cooked and they're still not eating them. Just peel them. Put them on the table. Maybe grab something that you know they like. So it could be yogurt, it could be hummus, it could be pesto. And put it on as a crudité. So it's a raw thing. And all you're going to do is just introduce that one thing and just get them eating it. Or even start them off. If it's peppers they like, you put the peppers with the hummus and then put the carrots beside it. And as a parent, it's your responsibility, even if you're not keen on carrots, you have a little go and educate your palate into liking other things. Like, I actually don't think there's nothing that I don't eat.
Yeah.
There's a few things I'm not crazy on, but I eat.
But
everything.
You try everything you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I didn't. But, you know, as the trade that I'm in.
That's the thing, but you don't, it's not something to eat. Well, my kids are too old now, or I'm too old. No, like, your palate can be introduced to things at any point.
And kids' palates are not as developed as ours. Mm. So, like, stronger flavours taste much higher for them. So, like,
so go easy on that.
Yeah, go easy. And if you have a child that's tricky with dining, don't go mad trying to push loads of different things on them. Just make sure that they're eating. And if it's something that they love and you're, you know, killing yourself,
pulling your hair out,
just give them what they love every day and just start trying to introduce
them. I love that idea.
I have a couple of kids, so that's... I also found that when my kids got to a certain age, especially with school, they kind of were watching what their friends were doing and their
and
diets
changed
a little bit.
Listen, Gareth Mulls, we can talk to you all day. Thank you so much for coming in. You'll catch Gareth on the 14th, that's Sunday, in Taste of Dublin. He's going to be in the Super Value tent doing some cooking, so make sure you go down and see that. But it runs from the 11th to the 14th. Dishing It Out is the podcast of The Markers, where you'll find Gareth doing his cooking. Gareth, thanks a million.
Dave Moore on Today FM.